Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. And undoubtedly, tech is a part of your life. And if you're a Christian parent, tech can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. Here to talk about that is Dr. Rob Reno with Visionary Family Ministries, visionaryfam.com. Dr. Reno, you recently led a seminar at Wheaton Academy on parenting in a world of tech. How does a Christian parent be a good Christian parent when their kids have laptops, tablets, smartphones? Oh, my.
Well, Monty, thanks for taking time to talk. I appreciate it. And we've got seven children. Our oldest is 19. Our littlest is 3. And so, like you said, there's gizmos, you know, all over the place. And part of the thing I think we need to do is to realize this starts with us. I have had many situations, even with my three-year-old the other day. I'm walking around the house, I'm holding my three-year-old, and I'm staring at my phone, and he's trying to talk to me. Hey, daddy. And he physically grabs my face, and he pulls my face away from my phone, and he says, look into my eyes when I'm talking to you. My three-year-old says this to me. Now, where did he hear that before?
So it's convicting.
It's very convicting, and you see how you know, disrespectful I was being, even to my three-year-old, with my nose in my phone. So part of what I've learned and what Amy and I are learning is that if we want to have any sort of boundaries with our kids when it comes to tech, that's going to start with us. And even things on like, okay, we have Netflix at our house. A lot of families have Netflix. Well, the stuff that you recently watched shows up in your recently watched queue or your recently watched list. And what does, you know, when your kid, if your kids open Netflix and they were to see the things that you recently watched, would you be proud to say that you watched that? Would you be proud to have your kids know that you watched those things? So before we get into, you know, what the kids are doing and what they're looking at and the filters and the boundaries and all of that, it's really important just for us to look at our own hearts. What level of control does tech have over us? I'll tell you something I'm asking the Lord for right now. When I wake up in the morning, I'll tell you what my instinct is. My instinct is to grab my phone. I'm in bed, and it just woke me up. It's my alarm. First thing I want to do is check my email. And I've been praying, Lord, would you make my first desire to swing my knees off the bed, down on the floor, and talk to you, rather than check that email?
How do you know if technology is disconnecting you from your kids, your spouse? It doesn't happen all at once, does it?
No. Well, one of the things to look for is that, is the tech in the house pulling you away from the relationships that are right in front of you? So if you're at the dinner table and most people have their phones down under the table, you know, maybe not even out in front, but half of their mind is with the conversation they're having under the table, then I would suggest that you've got, the tech has invaded your house. I remember, you know, back when we were growing up, we didn't have iPhones and texting and all these sorts of things. We had phone calls. So if you wanted to talk to your friends on the phone, you probably asked mom or dad, hey, can I go talk to so-and-so on the phone, right? And maybe you, for guys, probably wasn't that long, but maybe for our daughters, right, they might have talked for a long time. So imagine, you know, you're at the dinner table, and imagine your teenage daughter has 4 telephones sitting out on the table, and during dinner, she's picking up and talking to these different people, and boys are calling and all this kind of stuff. Would you be cool with that? Would you be like, oh, that's no problem, I totally understand. Every parent would say, no way, we would never let her have 4 simultaneous conversations, especially with random boys and all this kind of stuff. Well, that's exactly what she's doing, as she's got 18 text threads going on under the table. So we just talked to families about trying to start with, are there times of the day that are screen free? The tech's just off. And I'll tell you what I've learned. I need my phone physically away from me, like away. Like it's in another room, it's in a drawer, because if it's in my pocket and it vibrates, I'm taking it out. And I'll be talking to you and I'll be, oh, hold on a second. And what that says is whatever, I don't even know what that beep was, but whatever that beep was, more important than what I was talking with you about. So one of the things to look at is the outside tech disrupting relationships in the home?
I could see where it's just not a threat to the home, but think about even pastors. They have to be on the phone quite a bit. Technology can take over their lives too.
There's so much online, especially in the social media world. Honestly, a lot of pastors have a lot of pressure on them to press their ministry on the internet. and press their ministry into the world of social media. And I think it's fine. I mean, we have our ministry, Visionary Family Ministries, online, on Facebook, on Twitter, and things like that. I'll be really honest with you, though. I think that the seminars that you go to about if you can strategize your ministry in such a way that so-and-so will like it and share it, and then 10 people share it, and then 100 people share it, and pretty soon you've reached 1 million people, I just don't think it works like that. I mean, sure, there's the random situation where it did, but a lot of pastors and a lot of ministry leaders are spending a way high disproportionate amount of time trying to get this holy grail of internet viralness, I'm making up words for you now, as opposed to, you know what, it'd be better if you took that half an hour and prayed for God to bless your coming sermon. Spend another half an hour digging a little deeper into that text. I'll be honest with you, there's pressure now where a pastor will actually think, okay, I'm going to preach this message for my church Sunday, but I'm going to reach more people through the electronic ripple. I think that's an upside down and backwards way to think, especially if you're in ministry in the local church.
Let's get back to parents, kids, and spouses. You've touched on it, but how do you start to reconnect? Do you go cold turkey, or is it a gradual process? We're going to do this step by step.
I think the place to start is, as we talked about before, just setting aside chunks of time that are screen free, whether that's the dinner hour, whether that's after 10 o'clock at night. Every family is going to be different with how they want to handle that. But I would just ask the listeners, is there any time of the day or week that you have designated as a screen-free day in the family? And then you can fill that. Mealtime's great to fill that with face-to-face conversation. If you have listeners that they're a Christian family, but they don't have any family prayer or family Bible time, family worship we call that, that's the engine that powers the Christian family. So maybe your family doesn't spend much time praying together. One thing you could replace all the tech time with is something called high-low. High-low is, we do it at the dinner table, but hey, what was the high point of your day today? What was the best part of your day? And people share, well, I had this and this and this. All right, would someone pray and give God thanks for those high parts? All right, what was the low part of your day? Well, I had this and well, I had this. And we don't force anybody to share anything. Would someone be willing to pray and ask for God's help for those hard things we just heard? In busy families, especially that are being distracted by tech, there's a lot of highs and a lot of lows that are going by in people's lives that never get shared. And so that high-low mixed with prayer is just one tool we use in our family to help reconnect us.
What are some biblical principles that we need to follow when dealing with tech in our homes?
That's a great one. You know, the Philippians text, whatever's true, whatever's right, whatever's noble, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, excellent, admirable, praiseworthy, think about these things. That is a go-to passage for media, all different kinds of media. Is the music, are the movies, are the video games, things on my screen, lovely, excellent, admirable, praiseworthy, true, right, noble, pure, is a great place to start. And I think, I remember back in the day when I was a teenager, and my mother actually did this with me, there were some songs that I was listening to that weren't particularly healthy, positive, uplifting. And I took the standard kind of teenage boy line, well, Mom, I don't listen to the words or whatever, you know. And she very graciously, you know, my dad wasn't a Christian, so my mom had to do all this heavy lifting. But, you know, because she kind of showed me the lyrics to the song that I was listening to. And she just said, can you just read this over and just, you know, ask if this is something that God would be pleased with. And she didn't rub my nose in it. She wasn't, you know, shaming me because of it, but allowing the Holy Spirit to convict me about that.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight, and our guest is Dr. Rob Reno from Visionary Family Ministries, visionaryfam.com. We'll continue our conversation after this.
Americans have been traveling down the health insurance highway for decades. But lately, it's been taking us to places we don't want to go. For Christians, it's hard to know which road to take. Or is it? Samaritan Ministries provides a different direction, a biblical path for their members to pray for each other and share financially in each other's medical needs.
This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This is what God intended for the church.
Do you believe that you need an insurance company, or do you believe that God will provide your needs? And there are people that you've never met before who are going to pray for you and meet your needs. There's another way.
Looking for a new direction for your health care? Visit us online at SamaritanMinistries.org.
This is Dan Proft with 60 Seconds of Sanity, sponsored by Upstream-Ideas.com. Illinois is the land of the political cautionary tale. From Denny Hastert to Jesse Jackson Jr. to Aaron Schock to Rod Blagojevich, Illinois Pauls are featured in more tawdry tabloid stories than grainy photos of Sasquatch. But it's all too real in Illinois, and has gotten real ugly for kinda sorta Republican Governor Bruce Rauner. In the last month, the wealthy salesman turned politician has busied himself selling manure-smelling air freshener to the electorate in the form of transgender birth certificates, a sanctuary state designation, and establishing himself as the first governor in U.S. history to mandate taxpayer funding for abortion on demand. In his 3 years as governor, Rauner, who campaigned as having no social agenda, has advanced only a social agenda and one rooted in cultural Marxism to boot. So as Rauner's poll numbers continue to read like a Chicago thermometer in February, here's the moral of the Rauner candidate profile. Look for the Hank Reardons and look out for the James Taggarts. There's nothing wrong with an outsider businessman, so long as you remember that financial success is not a substitute for core principles and that business acumen and courage can be mutually exclusive.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and our guest today is Dr. Rob Reno with Visionary Family Ministries, visionaryfam.com. Dr. Reno, we've been talking about Christian parenting in a world of tech in our homes, on our phones, etc. And it can be a good thing, can be a bad thing, and it can disconnect us not only from our families and our spouses, but also from God.
The allure of what's online is so powerful. And there's a lot of great stuff there, right? There's sports, there's fun, there's school, there's education, there's all of this. But there's a couple of things that are super dangerous. One of them, and this is in the social media world, I talk to a lot of young people that they are finding their sense of identity and value in what's happening in their social media life. So if they get a lot of likes, if they get a lot of follows, if they get a lot of all the thumbs ups or whatever those things are, all of a sudden they've got a good day. And then if they make some Instagram post and people don't like it or they make bad comments, well, now all of a sudden their day is ruined. And literally, people are finding their worth and their identity in online life. And the problem with this is if you look to your online life to make your life, then your online life can break your life. Really what it is, at the end of the day, it's like an idol. You're looking to your online life to meet needs that only God can meet. So that's one big deal. The other big deal just has to do with all the filth that's so readily available. When you and I were growing up, if you wanted to see sexual filth, you had to get a magazine from somewhere, right? Either a buddy's house or something like that. Well, now it's just one click away. And so we have boys and girls really in equal numbers right now. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people think the porn issue is a boy issue. But statistically, it's equal boys and girls right now.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Because it's instantly there. And it is an instant high. It's like a drug. That whole sexual experience is like a drug. And I'm spending a lot of time with Christian young people and even engaged young people. And one of the things that they are needing to come to grips with is a lot of Christian young people think, well, when I get married, well, I won't need that stuff anymore, right? I won't need the porn. I won't need all the stuff that goes with it because I'll be married and I'll be able to be intimate with my husband or my wife. And what they don't realize is that getting married doesn't fix this. It doesn't fix that addiction because the sexual pathways with porn exists completely for me. Porn, it's my fantasy life and it's all about me. Whereas real intimacy in marriage isn't all about me, it's all about my spouse. And so what happens as a person gets married, they begin to be intimate with their spouse and they maintain their porn addiction on the side. So it is just the utmost seriousness. So we encourage parents, boy, as soon as your kids 10, 11, 12 years old, open, honest, candid, ongoing conversations. I keep going back to when you and I were growing up. If we had really good parents, we got the talk. Okay, and it was maybe 5 minutes long, maybe 10 minutes, fairly mechanical in nature, birds and the bees type thing. And that's if you had really good parents. This sexual development area of our life is huge. It's not a 5 minute conversation with a dad, you know what I mean, around a campfire when you're 13. It's talks. So parents, regularly, how are you doing with your sexual thoughts? How are you doing with your sexual behavior? What are you seeing online? How are you feeling about your manhood? How are you feeling about your womanhood? ongoing regular conversations. And that it after a while, your kid gets de-weirdified about it, that, okay, this is something that we talk about, and you shepherd them through it.
Well, some of the dangers on the internet in particular are not so overt. Some of them are much more subtle. Is there something out there now that is making its way into Christian homes, to Christian kids, that you see as very troubling?
I would say the philosophy of the news is duping tons of Christians. If Christians are getting a lot of their news online at places like Yahoo, CNN, MSNBC, even Fox, whatever, there is something that's being pressed in almost all of those news sources. And it's a nasty mix of humanism, that humans determine what's right and wrong, not God. Socialism, which is being sold right now as a wonderful blessing to the whole wide world, when in fact it's just a warm-up to communism. And Christians are buying that constantly right now, because socialism is nice, socialism is compassionate. And so if all you're doing is reading these headlines, which are designed to push you toward humanism and push you toward socialism, I'm seeing tons of Christians that are failing in the area of justice and compassion in the culture, because they're buying the way the world thinks, humanistically and socialistically.
So, what are some of the latest ways to protect our families, our kids, from the destructive aspects of the internet?
Yep. We use two things in our house. First thing we use is Covenant Eyes, covenanteyes.com. Covenant Eyes, I have it on my laptop and gizmos. Covenant Eyes, it is a filter, but no filters are very reliable. Anybody who tells you that they are, they're not right. They're not very reliable. Covenant Eyes is a tracker. So on my laptop, I can go wherever I want to go, and Covenant Eyes records it. So every week, my son, my fellow pastor, and my accountability partner all get an email from Covenant Eyes. Here's where Rob went this week on his laptop. I can go wherever I want, but there's no secrets. No one is holy enough for an online life in secret. No one's holy enough for a secret online life. So the key principle, moms and dads, is everything in the open. Open hearts with all these conversations we've talked about, and open gizmos. You have to know the password to every single account your kid has. You want to be able to view all their social media life. Nothing in secret. We use Covenant Eyes. We also use a device called Circle. Circle is made by Disney. It's a $99 piece of hardware. People are like, oh, Disney, okay, whatever. It's a really good product. It's a $99 piece of hardware, and it lives in your house, and it filters your home Wi-Fi according to your settings. There's a lot of home Wi-Fi filters out there. Most of them require techiness. I'm techie, fine. Most people aren't. Circle is very non-techie. I strongly recommend it. You can set up different users. So my high school son has, his gizmos are in his profile. Things are a little more open under his profile. My 13-year-old daughter, her profile is, her devices are more filtered than my older son. It's very easy to set all that up.
Okay, what's the name of that again?
Circle. Circle. It's a $99 little white box, and it connects to your family's Wi-Fi at home. Great product.
I want to ask you about something, and you, just a quick response on this. What do you do if you find out your child or maybe your kids are being cyberbullied?
Wow, that is a huge deal. And a lot of it has to do with what we talked about a few minutes ago. The kids that are giving their identity to their online life are now vulnerable to cyberbullying because they've given power to the internet to control their life and who they are and their reputation and all this. So if you trust the internet to build up your reputation, then the internet can tear down your reputation. Monty, I'm always just a big fan for parents on going in the front door. The front door is the direct approach. Now, that doesn't always work, but it's always the first place to start. So the direct approach is, daughter, 15-year-old daughter, are you having any problems online? Anybody harassing you? Anybody bullying you? What happens for most parents is the cyberbullying or stalking or whatever it is happening for months, and the parents have no clue. And the first time they find out about it is when the whole thing is blown up. So lots of ongoing questions. Hey, are things going okay online? Anybody on Instagram driving you crazy? Just good questions to ask.
Well, what do you do if you find out your kid is a cyber bully?
if you find out your kid's a cyber bully. Okay, well, they've got some biblical principles to follow here. First of all, by the grace of God, we pray that they would see their sin. And they might not. They might be very hard-hearted and very arrogant about it. But if they would see their sin, we want them to confess face-to-face to the person that they have sinned against. We want them to confess face-to-face with the other parents of the other teenager that they've sinned against. A lot of times these things spill over into a school context, so a whole school is actually being affected by cyberbullying. So there may be some repentance that needs to happen to an administration or something like that. But that's what we'd pray for, that they would take responsibility and ask for forgiveness.
Dr. Rob Reno, I use my smartphone to connect to Visionary Family Ministries. How can people connect with you?
Absolutely. Well, we would love to personally help any families that are out there that are navigating this. We've got a free online seminar called Parenting in a World of Tech. You can listen to the whole seminar on our website at visionaryfam.com. It's also on our podcast, on our Apple podcast. If you just go to your podcast store, type in Visionary Family Ministries, you can subscribe for free. You'll find parenting seminars, marriage seminars, church leadership seminars, and all sorts of things that'll be free in that podcast.
And you travel around the country talking about this issue and others, don't you?
Yeah, we do every other weekend. I grab a kid, we get on an airplane, and we talk about visionary parenting, visionary marriage. We do a conference called Never Too Late, which is encouraging faith in adult children. Maybe you've got a prodigal son or prodigal daughter that's far from God. We do a lot for single parents. We talk about tech. We talk about teens. We do a lot with church leaders on how to build biblical family ministries.
Okay, so if a church leader would like to bring you in, what should they do?
Best way is to go to our website, visionaryfam.com. Take a look at our calendar. We are booked about a year out. So you'd be looking at 14 months out, 16 months out for an event at your church. Give us a call, give us an email, and we'll set up a phone call with you just to get to know you better. We don't do like conferences in a box. In other words, I don't just show up a talking head. I want to get to know you and your church and really find, you know, how can we help you equip the families of your church to live for Christ?
Thank you so much, Dr. Rob Reno, with Visionary Family Ministries, visionaryfam.com. Until next time, God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.